Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, June 7th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
How do you do, my dear?
Hi, Margot. I'm doing just ducky. Listen, we continue our special Pride Month guest star extravaganza today. I have the distinct pleasure of welcoming a true original in the world of erotic photography, Kevin Johnson, otherwise known as Boots Bryant. Boots is here as part of the Erotic Mind podcast series. In our conversations with a noted erotic artist, we've uncovered quite a bit about the creative process involved in this specialized art form. We visited with numerous artists who have created their art in a variety of media. We've discovered that the term erotic art covers a vast array of visual and literary expressions, some very graphic, others subtly suggestive. But all reflect the irrepressible spirit of the human sexual experience.
What a story. Everything but the bloodhound snapping at her rear end.
Boots is first and foremost a photographer, but he's also an erotic author. He shoots mainstream fashion stuff as well as his edgier stuff. But whatever he shoots, you can be sure that it will pulse with enormous sexual energy. His photography can be both exquisitely beautiful and stunningly disturbing. And often, his images are both of these things at the same time. Be sure to look for Boots in all of his erotic glory on his website, bootsbryant.com. He also has a fan page on Facebook, don't you know? Facebook.com/BootsBryantPortfolio.
What can there be to know that you don't know?
Say, don't get all philosophical on me. Today's program is once again brought to you by So Hard for Men. So Hard is what we in the business lovingly call a boner pill. But So Hard for Men is not just any old Viagra knockoff, no siree. It's a pure, all-natural herbal formula that improves sexual health, combats erectile dysfunction, and increases the strength of your erection when aroused. Listen, I've tried So Hard for Men, so I can testify to its effectiveness. Look for my review of So Hard for Men on my product review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. Use the site's search function, type in the keyword herbal, and you can read my comments and evaluation.
There isn't another like you. There couldn't be.
Well, that's true enough. But listen, I'm really trying to get through my work here. The makers of So Hard for Men are so confident that their products work that they offer a 100% money-back guarantee. They also proudly offer all of their first-time customers a free, no-obligation trial pack. This is an amazing opportunity for you to test their product on your own. Get your wood the natural way. Look for their handsome banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll be so glad you did. Okay. On with the show. Welcome to Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, Kevin, and thank you for opening yourself and allowing us to plumb the depths of your amazing erotic mind. Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Yes, but only to the nice people. Hello.
But there are also a lot of big fat perverts out there too, so you probably should say hello to those folks too, because they are my most loyal fans.
Well, to them I'd say, be gentle, it's my first time.
Oh, there you go. So is this really your first podcast and first...
It is.
It is? And
it
a
is,
first
yes.
Skype experience, too?
Well, since you told me about Skype, I've been kind of like playing and chatting with...
I've created a monster?
You've created a monster. I have Skype mobile now on my phone.
Great. So, now, as you know, I'm a really big fan of your website, bootsbryant.com. It's so unique, and your photography is both exquisitely beautiful and stunningly disturbing. And sometimes your images are both things at the same time. Is your photography an outgrowth of your inner life, or does your photography infuse your personal life?
Well, thanks. I mean, first of all, I think the site needs a good overhaul. But, you know, I'm just too busy and too broke to do it.
There's a club for that, and I'm the president, but you could be the secretary if you want.
I'll be the secretary. I'll take that. Just don't make me treasurer.
All right.
But, yeah, the images I create and capture, I mean, it's all definitely extensions of me.
Uh-huh.
I have a haunting past, and, I mean, frankly, I'm lucky to be alive.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's some really dark places from an early age, even, you know, to recent years.
Uh-huh.
And my photography, like, you know, any of my artwork, is a form of free therapy for me.
Right.
Naturally, it's dark. I get to create fantasies and let go of bad memories all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Not to disappoint you, but I do go out and photograph flowers and clouds, too.
And doggies and duckies? And
right. You know, Boots Bryant is just my porn name.
Good.
First pet, first street I lived on.
Oh, is that right?
Cat named Boots, and I grew up on Bryant Street in the Valley.
No kidding.
So
we're going to ask you more about your life in the past and your other artwork, too, and your other photography, too. But tell me something right now about your Masked series. You seem to give sexually charged imagery with one hand and then take it away with a scary mask with the other. What's going on there?
That series in particular represents kind of like the contradiction a lot of gay men are, in that it's completely okay to expose yourself as long as you can remain anonymous.
It's,
you know?
It's so true.
It's all those deep, dark secrets that sometimes frighten us, but that turn us on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the images in that series represent things that have happened in my past,
uh-huh.
and some are just, you know, macabre fantasies that I've had.
I like you already. You're scaring me. So I was intrigued by something that you wrote on your site. Besides the mainstream Hollywood stuff you often shoot, you say that you've been commissioned to photograph special types of shoots where the subject of the picture keeps the photos for private use. Do you get a lot of that? Is it like boudoir photography?
Not a lot, but sometimes when I'm hunting for models, you know,
uh-huh.
and I run ads and stuff,
uh-huh.
I get people who come back to me saying, hey, I'm not sure I'm willing to do that. It's kind of frightening. But I like your style, and can I hire you to photograph stuff just for me and don't publish it?
Yes, right.
One of the more interesting cases came along a couple months ago, where a heterosexual man with a wife and kids hired me to tie him up and photograph.
Interesting.
He was making a book for his wife.
Look, honey.
Right. Which it's kind of bizarre, but he was really nervous and like. For, you know, several days before the shoot, he kept calling and needing reassurance that,
right.
He was like, I might get excited during the shoot, but I want to make sure you're not going to take advantage of that. And, you know, I kindly just had to remind him, like, look, buddy.
We're professionals here, damn it.
Well, I mean, if I wanted to hook up, I would just go get laid, you know.
Exactly.
Like, I'm here to photograph.
Exactly. This is work.
Right, exactly.
And besides, you're icky.
No, he was actually an attractive man.
Oh, how cool. See? Now, how come I can't get gigs like that? That's what I'd like to know.
It's so nice to come along.
So, most of these private shoots or sessions are of a sexual or erotic nature, yes?
Yeah, most of them.
Right. And do you shoot both women and men in situations like this, or couples even?
I've done some commercial work with women and
uh-huh.
men and couples, but the private one-on-one stuff has all been male.
Yeah, because we're nasty pigs, basically.
Right.
The long and short of it.
As it were.
Oh,
So when you're doing these kinds of things, you mentioned that instance with the fellow, the straight guy who wanted to be tied up for photos to give to his wife. Do most of your subjects come with a scenario in mind, or do they look to you for help in bringing something out of them?
Well, it's definitely a collaborative process.
Mm-hmm.
Each case,
like you look terrible in that fuchsia outfit.
Right, exactly. That that outfit does make you look fat. No, but seriously, each model's different. You know, they each have their own limits and, of course, their own ideas.
Right.
In general, you know, I come up with my ideas and they come up with theirs, and we bring both to the table. Mm. And then it just kind of, you know, you make
a
shots
that, yes?
you want to get, but
right.
it kind of, you know, it varies and there's right. gray area. So, but I always give them the opportunity to chime in with their own ideas, even if it's, you know, a
so
shoot.
They gag in their mouth, basically.
Right. You know, there's always that, the safe word is more.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. You are a hoot and a holler, don't you know? So, what about these gigs really appeals to you? I mean, the fact that you're in charge or you're following orders or that, you know, anything can happen sort of thing?
The unknown. Of course, I like the money. I mean, I want to... My dream is to one day earn my living through photography.
No
you
kidding.
Know.
That would be lovely.
But, you know, it's nice to get hired by people to do photographs they want and then, you know, use some for my portfolio when I can. And then there's the situations where it's just the whole premise and idea, like, of that, you know, that gentleman that, you know, he's got a kid at home and he's like a church man and
yes,
yet he's
right.
got this secret dark life.
Right.
It's kind of thrilling, you know.
Yeah, right. It must be really thrilling for them too to expose it finally. I mean, who knows how long they've been sitting on that, so to speak, as it were.
Right.
And having that evidence is like extraordinarily liberating, one would guess.
Yeah, and I mean, hopefully, you know, his point in it, his purpose for it was to show his wife, look, this is what I'm interested in, and to open up their relationship to incorporate that kind of thing.
Wow, that's interesting. Because that could, you know, cut both ways. You know, she could go like, totally, I could get into this, or you are a freak. And
exactly.
What if Bobby finds out?
Exactly.
Yikes. So that's pretty risky. And then, of course, there's the evidence, too. I mean, you're not saying, you know, like, I really love to be tied up. And she goes, that's sick. And then you go, oh, I was just kidding.
Well, she had known that.
Ah,
but she
had
seen it.
I
and
see.
So he's like,
yeah.
Well, I'm going to go get these pictures done.
Oh, that's
so she knew
cool.
about the shoot.
How cool.
So...
So let's talk some about your more recent projects. I understand, as you mentioned just a little while ago, that your website needs some update. Tell us something else that you're doing.
I have three main new series that I'm working on right now. None of them are really ready to post or exhibit yet.
Uh-huh.
One series is all outdoor, which makes it a little more difficult to coordinate. You know, I've got to find a secluded location
right.
and a willing model
right.
who's going to take it all off outside.
Right.
But
then
so
again, you live in the valley, so come on.
Yeah, no, there's plenty of places, but you know, it's just a matter of a lot of times the models
no.
who are willing, I don't really need in my portfolio.
Right.
You know, it'll just take time, but when it's ready, I think it's definitely going to be like one of my favorite series that I've ever done. The other two are in their more rudimentary phases, so I don't want to give anything away
okay.
about them yet.
Alrighty.
Just, you know, I don't want someone else to go out with a camera and shoot it before me.
Right. So when you plan a series like this, how long does it take you to accomplish it?
I think it's going to be ongoing, and if I do it the way if I do it right, I'm going to have a quarterly magazine.
Get out. How great.
And then after maybe a couple years, I'll do like a anthology coffee table book of the best of each scene.
Yeah. Wow. I'm so glad that I know you, because I know you're going to send me free copies of everything.
Of course. Of course.
So would you say that regardless of the genre of photography that you're shooting, there is an underlying sexuality or eroticism to it? Or do you bring that mindset to the shoot?
Well, I'm just a sexual person in general.
Uh-huh.
My boyfriend teases me all the time because he says I'm like a 16-year-old and get turned on if the wind picks up. So it's kind of natural for that to spill
uh-huh.
over into my art and photography.
Mm-hmm.
It Spilling doesn't,
over.
However, spill over into a lot of the jobs I get hired to shoot. Like,
oh.
for instance, there is nothing sexy about shooting a bar mitzvah. There's no way around it. So,
and weddings, you know, too, and I know you shoot weddings.
Right, and weddings, you know, unless it's a really sexy groom.
Yeah. And ma'am, would you step, bride darling, would you step
right.
over here? And groom darling. I
he
love
hasn't
it.
Said I do yet, honey.
And he was only kidding when he did. That is so, yeah, I do a lot of wedding business myself, and, you know, I just, they're like pulling teeth. It's one of my least favorite things to do. So,
yeah.
Although sometimes there's plenty of eye candy, there's no doubt about it. I mean, all those groomsmen and whatnot, you know, they're just standing around. It's, you know, looking
I
hungry.
I always take my cards with me, hoping to find some hot straight guy that'll take it off.
That's right. Good for you. Beating the bushes, as it
hasn't
were.
Hasn't happened yet.
So, before we begin our conversation about erotic art in general and your work in particular, let's talk about you. Where did you grow up or go to school and your ethnicity, etc.?
Me. I was raised in the San Fernando Valley.
Uh-huh.
I still live there. When I was a kid, I kind of, you know, was like, oh, I'm going to move to Hollywood one day and be around all the cool people. And then I finally moved to Hollywood, and I hated it, and
mm-hmm.
I couldn't wait for my lease to come up
mm-hmm.
so I could move back to the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
It's just home for me. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, it's where I live. It's where I work.
Mm-hmm.
I went to high school in Reseda, near where The Karate Kid was filmed.
No kidding.
And I come from a long line of white trash in Bakersfield. But more historically, our lineage stems from Finland and Germany.
Is that right?
Huh. Yeah. Scandinavian roots.
Ah.
German roots.
Mm. So you intimated earlier that the early part of your life was difficult. Without, you know, getting into any of the gory details that you don't want to get into, is there anything that you can tell us that set you on this path, and you know, perhaps what demons you are exorcising through your photography?
Well, there was the extreme religious upbringing I had, the self-hatred from knowing I was gay from a very early age.
Wow.
In that environment.
Yeah.
That led me to be morbidly obese, and I was 350 pounds.
Wow.
And I got made fun of a lot. I got beat up in school.
Oh, man.
You know, shit happened. I was molested when I was a kid. You know, it's just crap that you live through. And,
yeah.
You know, I spent my 20s kind of just partying and drinking it away. And then
right.
in my late 20s, I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. I need to pick up a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd always loved photography and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So it is therapeutic for you then, yes?
It is very therapeutic.
One would guess. I mean, your stuff to me seems like there's a soul there. You know, it's a passionate kind of thing that I see there, as opposed to a lot of the stuff that I see. Actually, stuff that I really like by other photographers, but it's different. It, you know, it seems staged and it seems, you know, studied. And your stuff. It feels so much more human.
Oh, thanks.
And I suspect that it's the photographer and not the subject.
Yeah, it's my shoots are just kind of informal, and we just see where it goes. You know, I mean, obviously, if I'm shooting a, you know, commercial professional thing in a studio with lighting and I'm being paid and stuff, it's a little more clinical,
right.
I guess you could say. It's
right.
a little more,
yes.
you know, photographed by numbers. But
yes.
when it's just me and a model, it's just let's see what happens.
Huh, interesting. So when did you first start wielding a camera?
I since I was a kid, I've always been taking photos and kind of like cataloging my life.
No kidding.
I used to just sit and look through grandma's photo albums and stare at the black and white pictures. You know, I'd just be in awe. I was always buying those little crappy disposable cameras that mm-hmm. were, you know, that you see at the checkout,
right.
the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, finally pulled money together, got a little digital point and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago, I was working for a magazine and they'd send me out to photograph events because
mm-hmm.
they, you know, I was a salary employee
mm-hmm.
and, you know, there was no overtime, so
mm-hmm.
they just send me out. And then I got to interview and write an article for that magazine about this photographer named Joe Appetisano.
Oh, yes, I know.
Yeah, he's a great photographer. So
I'll
he
say.
Was a big inspiration. And I got to assist him on one of his shoots, actually, and
wow.
decided, like, this is what I want to do.
For the rest of my life. He's
so
brilliant.
Then,
I was hoping that he would be part of this series, but it hasn't actually happened yet.
Hasn't happened yet? Yeah, he's hard to get a hold
no,
of.
No, I'll say. Good Lord.
He wanted pictures, the behind-the-scenes pictures that I shot on the set of his shoot,
mm-hmm.
and it took me a month to get a hold of him to send him the pictures he wanted. So it's just, he's a busy man.
Yes.
But then, anyways, to finish answering that question, in 2008, my grandmother died and she left me a little chunk of money
mm-hmm.
and instead of spending it on drugs and hookers like I would have done in my 20s,
mm-hmm.
I decided to get some photography equipment and to, you know, start taking it more seriously.
Wow.
And
thanks, Grandma.
Really yeah, absolutely, you know. It's really since then that I've, you know, really started to do this. You know, that's when I started that mask series and
mm-hmm.
and started taking it more seriously.
So when did you actually begin shooting nudes and the more erotic stuff?
Since before I had my SLR. At
uh-huh.
the beginning of 07, actually, a coworker had just broken up with his boyfriend, and he said, you know, I want some nudes done for my Manhunt profile. So,
choose me.
Yeah, I was just like, sure. So I went over to his apartment after work one day, and with my little crappy $200 point-and-shoot,
mm-hmm.
I took pictures of him, and they came out really good.
Ah.
And I got some good feedback, and, you know, I've just been shooting erotic all along, and usually it's more what I've done,
mm-hmm.
And then the stuff I get hired to do is usually more mainstream.
Mm-hmm. But I've seen some of your mainstream stuff, and the interesting thing is that there's a powerful, you know, erotic element to it without it being overtly sexual. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I guess it's just me.
Coming out of
I've
your pores, darling.
Yeah. Well, and I also joined this this thing called the Kinky Camera Club at Antebellum Gallery. And it's where the gallery owner Rick Castro hires a model.
Mm-hmm.
And he lets, you know, photographers of any skill level come in, and you just pay
wow.
admission, and then you all stand around and photograph the model,
mm-hmm.
kind of like Irving Claw did back in the day with Betty Page.
No kidding. That's fascinating.
So I've been doing that, like, every couple months for about 2.5 years now, and it's been a great learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would seem, you know, I mean, that you're in the company of your fellows, and, you know, everybody's, you know, perhaps sharing, you know, insightful kinds of things and, you know, looking for angles and things like that, and just watching would be education in itself, it would seem.
Yeah, it's always a lot of fun. And, you know, no one's like fighting like paparazzi to,
yeah.
you know, get their shot.
Right.
Everyone gives each other space, and it's really cool.
Yeah. Where do you find your models, generally speaking?
Wherever I can. If I see a hot guy and I'm especially confident that day, I'll walk up to him and
good
hand
for
him my
you.
Card.
Good for you.
Because
it's a stroke, is it not? You know, I mean.
You get a lot of rejection.
Well,
you know
of
what
course,
I mean? A lot of people just think it's a pickup line.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's other people who seem interested when they meet me. They realize I'm a nice guy, and then, you know, they go to my website and they're like, what's this axe handle with the guy with the Jason mask? You know, like. So it's just, it's wherever I can. You know, I have noticed that it's not really the best idea to ask straight guys at the gym when they're around their friends.
Yeah. However, get it, you know, later, privately, they probably...
Right, it's a one-on-one question.
Absolutely. It's, you know, gay guys are like that too, it seems to me. Especially with their, you know, with their, when they're out with their friends, you know, they're less likely to do that. I used to be very, very bold, you know, walking up to people and say, you know, you ought to be in the movies. And they'd look at me like, really? And then, you know, I mean, I didn't care if they were gay or straight or whatever. And then I would hand them my card and said, you know, Daddy-O Productions, you know, quality adult entertainment or enrichment and education. And they go, oh, what?
Right, right. The gas.
And then others, you know, thought, oh, you know, that's kind of cool. You know, that's cool. And, you know, even if they didn't go for it, I mean, it's, to be considered, you know, porn star material is,
right,
you know, is a stroke.
No, and it's true. It is a stroke to the ego, and I, most people are flattered and appreciate that stroke, but the ones, I mean, maybe one out of 10 will give you a yes, and then if they pan out,
yes,
you know,
it's
a whole other story.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, I get a lot of my guys I found off Craigslist.
Yes.
And you just have to hope for the best, and I've made some friends out of it. I'm still friends with some of the guys who've modeled for me.
Yeah, yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, there, you know, we haven't shot a new movie at Daddy-O for, you know, ages, and but I still have contact with a number of the people that I worked with, and they're very pleasant people. You know, some of them are really cuckoo and nutty, but other ones are, you know, really remarkable folks.
Yeah, so, usually the nutty ones, you can figure it out before you ever even bring them in for a shoot. You just don't book them.
So you do both studio shooting and outside, or, you know, non-studio shooting? What else is, what's the opposite of studio shooting?
Well, I prefer shooting outdoors, to be honest.
Interesting. And so do you have favorite spots that are particularly inspiring to you?
Yeah, and just little spots, like when I get upset or too overwhelmed by life, I'll just go out and shoot by myself, you know, and like pull off the freeway. That looks cool, and I'll go start walking around. So I have found spots, and I've kind of exhausted them all. But like 2 months ago, I went looking, so I have like maybe 3 new spots I want to go try.
Oh, interesting.
I've been spending my weekends in Long Beach, so I found a few spots down here I want to take a model to. Mm-hmm. I'm just, to be honest, better at shooting in natural light and outdoors.
Right.
I still have a lot to learn when it comes to lighting and studio photography. I usually have to pad the budgets that I do for commercial work to like sub out, you know, hire like a friend of mine who's a lighting expert to come in and set it up to make sure it's right.
Yeah.
If it's just me and a model and it's for my portfolio, it's all right if I spend the extra time to adjust the lighting as I go.
Yeah.
If I'm on someone else's dime, I have to have it spot on when we start.
Yeah. So just to go over some ground that we just covered, but still I want to ask this. I know that you shoot both women and men, but the women that you shoot tend to be for professional purposes or for your professional gigs?
Yeah, like headshots.
Right, I see. So you're not doing female nudes necessarily?
Not yet. I haven't yet. Mm-hmm. I've had a few women approach me and ask about hiring me, and then, you know, they're like, well, let me think about it and stuff like that. For my book, I you know, obviously want it to be male.
Right.
I have nothing against photographing women. I did a catalog shoot for an adult toy manufacturer last year and coordinated the models for that. And so it was, you know, hot chicks and lingerie, and that had to be erotic and sexy.
Right. Do you have to adapt your pitch, you know, if you're dealing with one as opposed to the other, gender-wise? I mean, do you have to say to... I mean, can you come right out and say, you know, you're hot and show me your tits kind of thing, or...
Yeah, no, I have no problem, and usually the girls are really receptive and feel comfortable because they know I'm a gay guy, and they, you know, they know there's no danger there.
Yeah, no hidden agenda.
And then I have to adapt that pitch when it's a hot straight guy or someone who's more conservative, again, because my stuff scares people off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's like, these people wanted to be tied up in this shoot, you know what I mean? I'm not just going to get you over and, like, drag you to a dungeon and photograph it.
You know? Well, you know, the funny thing is that, you know, when I was looking at your mask series, I was thinking to myself, if I had a nickel for all the guys who said to me, you know, I would love to be in one of your movies, except, you know, I would have to wear a mask. And I, you know, I said, well, that kind of disqualifies you from being in a porno movie, at least aren't porno movies. But in that series, wouldn't that be great? I mean, here's some, you look, find a mask and I'll shoot you. And no one will know, be the wiser.
Well, and I had a friend a couple years ago who worked for one of the big gay porn studios, and I was sending him shots from every mask shoot that I was doing for his feedback, and because he was their chief photographer.
Oh,
and
interesting.
I was getting, you know, like, he was telling me, well, you could improve this, you could do that, and blah, blah, blah. Next thing I knew, they came out with a movie called Mask.
Bitches.
Yeah.
God,
yeah,
that is awful, but so, not surprising.
No, it was flattering. You know, I was like, well, obviously I'm onto something.
Now I'm going to kill you.
Right. You are no longer my Facebook friend.
That's
goodbye.
Right. Goodbye, and have a nice day. So, briefly, can we talk about your music career? How does that fit in to your this erotic nature of yours?
My music hobby? I've been playing bass since I was a teenager.
Uh-huh.
I've been in a couple bands in my 20s that were just, you know, drug, drinking, booze, punk bands. And a few years ago, like, I think we've been together 4.5 years now, my current band is called Citizen Savant.
Oh,
and
cool.
We're kind of like ethereal indie rock, like shoegaze, but with more power behind it. So I kind of realized, and in the last 6 months have been thinking, you know, I'm 33 years old. I'm not going to ever be a rock star. So I'm debating how much energy I want to put into that.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I mean, I want to do my photo series. I want to finish these books. You know, I want to work on that. So I'm not sure how much more of my energy is going to be devoted to music in the coming years.
Right.
I think that's winding down.
Right. Is it erotic, though? I mean, I know a lot of people who, you know, tell me that, you know, their work in bands and stuff like that is just like,
it's
a big erotic turn on, and, you know, the guitars are extensions of their dicks and blah blah.
Yeah, and to maybe dive into TMI territory, if I rub one out before band practice, I don't play as powerfully or as good. I've also noticed that when it comes to, like, writing anything, stories or music for my band or whatever, if I'm sexually drained, I'm not as creative. Like, if I have some sexual energy pent up in me, then there's more of a creative flow and it's easier to write.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Would you say that that's true? I hate to go about bouncing back to the photography thing, but is it true that way too? Like, you would have a much more edgy kind of thing if you got blue balls, so to speak, as it were.
No, for photography, when I'm doing a nude shoot, an erotic shoot, I usually will rub one out before, because otherwise I will be in pain.
Yeah, and distracted.
You know.
Right. On that note, sir, I'm just looking at the clock and I realize that our time is up for today, and apparently I'm just getting to the meat of things with you. Can I invite you to come back next week and chat with us?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to.
Oh, swell. But in the meantime, could you give us your website address and walk us around a bit, and then we'll be visiting you throughout the week?
Yes, it's Boots, BOOTSBRYANT.com. And when you get there, there's a picture of me.
Yay!
when you hover over with the mouse, you can see that there's two areas you can go to, writing and photography.
I thought that was really cool, by the way. That was very hot. Very, very hot.
Thanks. Thank you. So on the writing half, it just has kind of like my writer's bio and shows some of the publications that I've been featured in. Mm-hmm. And then the photography half, you know, tells a little bit about how I got my start in photography. And then you can click through to see the complete gallery of the mask shoots.
Wow, that's very cool. Good, good, good. So until next week when we check into it again, we will be visiting you in cyberspace.
Awesome. Yeah,
thanks, kiddo.
Enjoy it. Thanks.
Thank you. See you soon. Bye.
Okay.
Great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for part two of my discussion with Boots Bryant and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is So Hard for Men. I know what you're thinking. With so many herbal supplements on the market that boast fast-acting results, it's hard to know which erection-enhancing formula to choose, or if one shouldn't just avoid them altogether. I always tell my clients to beware of bogus claims and dangerously adulterated products that abound in the marketplace.
Oh, relax, kid. It's just me and my big mouth.
So Hard for Men is different, though. It's made of 100% herbal extracts, and it's as effective as any medically prescribed drugs I've ever tested, but it's much kinder to my system. There are no headaches, unsightly flushes, upset stomach, rise in blood pressure, or altered vision. In my years-long search for the holy grail of herbal erection enhancers, I have found only one product that consistently delivers on the promises it makes without any of the nasty side effects. So Hard for Men improves genital blood circulation, which assists in achieving and sustaining a strong erection. As you know, every human body is unique. Each of us metabolizes what we consume in a slightly different way, so keep that in mind when you use So Hard. And just so we're clear, So Hard is not miraculous. It will not override an unhealthy lifestyle, but it can positively affect our sexual response cycle, making us more easily aroused, as well as more energetic lovers. Look for the So Hard banner on DrDickSexAdvice.com.
You don't have to apologize for me.
Okay, then. Say, would you like to become a sponsor for one of my Sex Advice podcasts? As you know, I plug a product or a service at the beginning and end of each show, just like I'm doing now. Each podcast has its own posting on my site, along with the name of the podcast sponsor and a banner for the product or service. The beauty part of this unique opportunity is that once a sponsor's ad is included in a particular podcast, that sponsor is embedded there forever. Your sponsorship also underscores your social conscience. Your marketing dollars will not only go to promote your product, but you will be doing so while helping disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages. Simply put, you just can't get a better bang for your advertising dollar. For more information, contact me through my site, DrDickSexAdvice.com. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health Subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe, and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.